All right, so let's put ourselves in meditation mode, insofar as there is a meditation mode. Ultimately, there is no meditation mode, and we're just meditating all the time. But right now, there is a meditation mode. So we'll just make our bodies comfortable and relaxed and alert, receptive. And we will take a moment to rest in open awareness or follow the breath, whatever you need to bring your mind to focus and let go of everything else. Actually, he's going to start us off that way. He says, take a breath. I forgot he starts out that way. Take a breath, let it out slowly without strain, and do that again three or more times. We'll just take three breaths, three relaxed breaths. Letting our mind and body settle naturally. We'll all take three breaths and we'll see how many that is for everybody. And eyes can be closed or open. So now think of something. It can be anything, and I'm just reading Ken here. But think of just one thing, your partner, a friend, a flower, an idea. I mean, if you don't have an idea, it could be the Statue of Liberty. Think of the Statue of Liberty, just bring it to mind. He says the thought can be a word or phrase, a picture or a sound. So now we ask ourselves, where is that thought or that image? In your mind, of course, but what does that mean? Is this thought or image inside your head? Is it outside your head, the Statue of Liberty or whatever else you're seeing? And we're going to take pauses to look, to actually do this exercise. Is it inside your head? Is it outside your head? Whether it's a word or an image or a thought. It is there. It is vivid. Say you have a picture in your mind. Where is that picture? Is it inside? Is it outside? Where is it? If you have not done this exercise before, says Ken, by now you are probably flooded with thoughts and ideas and are trying to figure out how to do it. Like, where is it? Instead, let's let it all go and start again. And he's going to lead it through us in a different way. So let's do three more or however many slow, relaxed breaths. Following the breath, but letting our minds be very open and relaxed and inclusive. Letting go of all thoughts. Meaning that they can come and go, but we're not fixating on them. Now again, think a thought about just one thing. Picture it if you wish. So it could be the Statue of Liberty or your car or whatever. Where is that picture? When you look this time, do not look with your mind. Do not look with your eyes. Do not try to figure anything out. Just look. So your psyche is just in the mode of looking, which is it's a receptive thing. It's not an active thing. It's a stepping back and not generating ideas, but just being receptive, looking and being receptive. Just look with your whole being, including your body. Still looking at whatever that thought or image is that we have in our mind. You know, see, or hear the thought. The thought is there, definitely, but where is it? Do not try to figure this out. Just look. Where is it? You cannot say. Just rest there. You cannot say, so do not try to say what it is. Just rest there, resting and looking. All right, now we're going to do another exercise. So stay in the same mode. Now take a feeling, an emotion, anger, love, joy, grief, pride, compassion. Pick one. It doesn't matter which one. And bring that feeling to mind. What it feels like to be angry, or what it feels like to feel joy or love or grief. You can bring a situation to mind if you need to, but we can probably just bring an emotion. So bring the feeling to mind and ask, where is it? As for the physical sensations associated with those feelings, we will deal with those in a moment. But for now, just ask, where is the feeling? And look. What do you see? Again, it's completely passive receptivity. You feel the anger, you feel the love, you feel the physical sensations, but where is the feeling? You say, in my mind, but where is that? You can feel the physical sensations, tension, contraction, and tightness with anger, warmth, relaxation, possibly a different kind of tension with love. Are the physical sensations the actual feeling? There is an emotional quality too. Where is that? Again, we're doing this in a non-conceptual way, just looking and resting. Where is the feeling? Not the physical feeling, but the emotional impact of anger or love or joy or grief. You cannot say. No one can. So if you didn't come up with an answer, that is the answer. No one can say where it is. Again, rest there, looking and resting. So still looking at that emotion. Looking at it, looking and asking yourself where it is, and knowing that there is no answer, there is no conceptual answer to that. Cannot say. And now a third exercise, staying in that meditation mode. Now look at an object, anything that you can see right now. It says a chair, a book, a vase, anything that you can see right now, your computer, a pair of scissors, whatever there is. You see the object, so you've picked an object. Now we're looking at the object. But where is the seeing taking place? Is your mind somehow going out to the object, or is the object somehow coming into your mind? Where are you actually seeing the object? Where does the act of seeing happen? You may think, in my head. What is the seeing in your head? If you look at an object that is larger than your head, let's pick one of those. Some object in your field of vision that's larger than your head. It is hard to see how the seeing could take place in your head. And if anybody, you should all know the story of Milarepa and the yak horn. I think this is the explanation for it. If you do not know the story of Milarepa and the yak horn, jot that down and Google it, because you now have the key to Milarepa and the yak horn. Because it's the same question. Where are we seeing the object? And what if it's an object that's bigger than our head? Where do we see it? And what does size even mean? So it takes place in my mind, you say. Exactly, says Kim. But where is that? So still looking at whatever object we want to look at. It takes place in my mind, yep. But where is that? And Kim says, you cannot say. And you are right back where you were with thoughts and feelings. They are there, but you cannot say where they are. You see, but you cannot say where the seeing is. And so I like this exercise because it's kind of easy to see that, easier to see that with more abstract things like emotions or a mental image, but an object outside us. It's like one way that this has been said by Ari Goldfield when he taught at KTC the first time. One of the exercises he gave us was to look at an object and ask, where does the mind end and the object begin? Ken says, it is the same with the other senses, but the habituations or the, you know, the our habits, the way we habitually perceive them, with some of them are stronger. Try sound first, he says. Listen to a piece of music, we can't really do that. The ringing of a bell or the hum of your refrigerator. Let's do a gong, I brought one. And the question is, where is the hearing taking place? Does our mind go to the gong to hear it, or does the gong come to our mind to hear it? If we think it's taking place in our mind, where is that exactly? Not analyzing, just looking or hearing. And Ken has the same answer again. You cannot say. These are all trick questions because they haven't got an answer. And he says it is the same with physical sensations. You feel them. You associate them with very specific parts of your body, an itch on your back, the texture of your shirt, the tightness in your jaw when you are angry, the pain in a stiff muscle, a queasy feeling in your stomach. But where does the sensing take place? If we feel cold, where are we actually feeling and perceiving that? You cannot say, says Kim. And then he says, and we're still in the meditation, remember what Tokme Zangpo says. And this is his translation of that first line, whatever arises in experience is your own mind. For all appearances are my own mind. Everything I experience is my mind. He says, in other words, what you experience is your mind. It's not saying it's like my mind or it's in my mind. It is my mind. Your mind is not a thing. It is not located anywhere. So let's ask that question for a moment. This is your classic first, you know, first vipassana, because this is vipassana meditation. This is insight meditation. This is meditation that directs us to look at mind itself. And the way we usually do that at the beginning, before we bring things into it, as Ken has done, is we look at mind. We say, where is my mind? Is it inside my body? Is it outside my body? Is it both? Is it neither? Does it have a color? Does mind have a shape? Does it come from here? And those questions, we don't ponder those questions. We ask the question and then we let it go and we just look. And what we've done, it's not about the question. It's not about whether mind has a shape. That question shifts our focus to look at mind. And then we just rest in that looking. And we don't care if it has a shape or a color. And as Ken says, we can't say. We can never say. But the point of it is not that it doesn't have a shape or color so much as that it shifts our focus. And we are able, through that question, to actually get a sense of looking at mind, where we never find anything. So he says, your mind is not a thing. It is not located anywhere. Your mind is what you experience. And KDC people will recognize that Rinpoche Tulpa said something very similar. Your mind is what you experience. What you experience is your mind. And this is not something that you can conceptually understand. You have to feel your way into it by simply being receptive. So Ken says, wherever you are, as you read this or you hear this, look around, open to everything that you see, everything that you hear or touch, everything that you think or feel, all those experiences, and you can look around if you want to, all those experiences, the seeing, the hearing, the feeling, the thinking, all of that is your mind. It is a bit like a dream. Because, right, in a dream, it's all in your mind, right? Is it actually in your head? We can't say. But we know of a dream that no matter what happens in it, no matter what happens to us in it, we can be killed in it. But then we wake up, and there could be people in it, like all kinds of people that we know and don't know. And we know that there are no people there. It's a non-dual experience. It is our own mind. Everything in a dream takes place in our own mind, and we know that. And we're being encouraged to look at all of our experience as being, in some sense, the same as that. So he says, rest there in that sense of openness, like everything that I'm seeing, hearing, feeling, etc. in this moment is my mind. It's not different from my mind. It is my mind. And it is my mind in the same way a dream is my mind. He says, rest there for a few moments, taking it all in. A little puzzled, perhaps a little in awe. Because we didn't grasp something intellectual here. We don't know something. We're just resting in some kind of awareness. He says, it is a different way of experiencing life. So then he asks the question, and we're still meditating here, what experiences all of this? Who or what experiences all of this? Who's experiencing this? It's like a dream. You may recognize that as these are the steps of the ultimate bodhicitta meditation, 7 points of mind training. Who or what experiences all this? Again, do not try to figure it out, Ken says. Do not start thinking about the question. Just ask the question and look. Who experiences or what is experiencing what I'm experiencing right now? What mechanism is experiencing my experience? Just look. Look in the resting and rest in the looking. So we've just directed our attention to something that is by definition non-conceptual. There is no answer to it. We cannot say. Who or what experiences our experience? And you could intellectually remember at this moment that what we're talking about is non-duality. And therein lies our answer, which is not a conceptual answer, because concept is by definition dualistic. There is no non-dualistic concept. So we're directing our attention beyond conceptuality into that gap that Pema Chodron talked about. So he says, rest again, looking in the resting, resting in the looking, resting in that awareness. We'll take just a moment to do that. Letting go of all the questions, we're just resting in the awareness that we are left in. Not letting go of the looking exactly, but it's not an active thing. He says, thoughts and feelings may come and go, but, and he's going to give us an answer here, there is no observer, no watcher. And that's what Gampopa said too. They are there and then they are gone. There's a sense of an observer, but you can also have that sense of no observer. They are there and then they are gone, like snowflakes on a hot stone. That's a classic simile from the meditation instruction literature. It does not matter whether the thoughts are of I or some object. It does not matter whether they are explicit words or images or vague feelings and sensations. They are all movements in awareness, yet there is nothing there that moves. This is not something you think. This is something you experience.